Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Delve. My name is Nathan.
And I'm Alex.
But sometimes I'm Tree Spirit. Or at least I used to be, once upon a time.
You did what now?
You don't remember Tree Spirit?
Oh, I guess. I thought you were going to say Free Bird.
No. No. Tree Spirit. No, it doesn't work in the song. No, that's the character that I used to play in World of Warcraft, Alex. You don't remember?
It's been a while.
Yeah, I was Torn Shaman Druid.
You were Druid, actually.
I was Druid.
Also, for fair reference, Druid is one of the harder classes to play.
Hey, you know what? I was just in animal form the entire time.
I know.
That was the only thing I did.
You know, I think you were a bear back then.
No, I was the tiger.
Were you the cat? Okay,
I was the cat.
I thought you were a bear, Druid.
I was a cat. You know what happened is I thought back to my days playing Diablo 2, and
oh.
I played a druid in that, and I did a werewolf build, not
oh,
a
werewolf. Oh, see, I did werewolf in Diablo 2 also, because lifesteal...
Lifesteal was great, and also you hit so much faster than with the bear mold. The reason why we're bringing all of this up is because you are listening to this on Monday, August 26th.
Probably.
Maybe. If you're listening to it when it first comes out, you are listening to it on the 26th. Today, World of Warcraft actually comes out with their classic servers.
Today is the day World of Warcraft launches.
Yeah. Hey, for this, there's this cool new game, guys. It's called World of Warcraft. I know you've probably never heard of it back.
You should check it out. It's going to be one of the biggest MMORPGs ever.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty great. I have no idea what's in it. So, just so everyone's kind of aware of what that means, they're going to get these legacy servers that emulate what Azeroth looked like back in 2006.
Cool. Boy, what a year.
13 years ago, folks, we had World of Warcraft start.
And just for the record, it's not just emulating what the world looked like. It's actually taking you back to WoW Vanilla, Nathan.
Yes.
It's taking you all the way back to when you first made that character on that fateful whatever month of the year it was day.
It was not 2006 because I think Wrath of the Lich King had just come out, so it was a little bit into its...
You know, that's fair, but I started during Burning Crusade, so I was maybe 2008.
Yeah, it was a little
2007,
bit
2008.
Yeah, something about that. Yeah, we're going to see a bunch of things, classic talents, the classic world, and they're going to do classic raids where you have the lovely 40-person raids.
Yeah, they still have some of those larger raids, and there actually are some of those larger battlegrounds as well.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of the ones I did the other day was a 40 versus 40.
That's practically into Battle Royale territory right there.
A little bit. It's a thing. But yeah. So, classic WoW, classic raids, you're going to get all classic Zul'Garub.
And the lore is going to be going back, I imagine, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have Thrall as your
war
chief.
I guess we were waxing a little bit nostalgic because I haven't really played WoW in a very long time. Alex, you do still play, though.
I do. I go back and forth between playing it and stopping for a while, and then playing it again for a while, and then stopping for a while, so...
They do some updates, you want to go in and see what it's like, then you get on it for a bit.
Yeah, my big thing is the lore is what I really like right now. I've mentioned it before, but ever since Wrath of the Lich King especially, but Cataclysm, since that, they redid all of the 1 to 60th level quests kind of on Azeroth.
Yeah.
So all your normal zones, they redid a lot of those, so a lot of them changed, and it made it a lot more fun to go back and replay those.
Mm-hmm.
But they also updated, aside from all the quests, the lore just has gotten so good, and their storytelling has just been phenomenal.
Maybe it's just because I think I pieced out before Cataclysm happened. So I don't know most of what happened in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, you stopped playing during Lich King, and Lich King was really good. The end of Lich King was really good, but Cataclysm was, they went, hey, we're going to destroy a lot of the world and just have fun
and do
some things. And then the storytelling from that, because the graphics improved right around then too, but the storytelling improved. They were better telling their story. through in-game cutscenes and through events and through their NPCs, like Thrall and the dragon aspects and stuff. Right. So a lot of that storytelling stuff they've done better and better and better with. Cataclysm was when we introduced the Worgen and Goblins, I believe. If Nathan, if you get a chance to go back through and play WoW, and you can make a Worgen. I know they're Alliance and I hate the Alliance. That's not the point. If you get a chance, go through and make a Worgen. Their starting area is incredibly fun. It's heavy in lore. It's thematic. It is really well done. The Goblin area, on the other hand, is really ridiculous. Which I understand that's what they wanted to do for the goblins, but it's like, but between the two, the Worgen are the one I prefer. The goblins are just kind of silly. It does have some heavier plot points to that starting area.
Right.
But the entirety of the Worgen starting area is going from, like, oh, I'm a soldier, to being, oh, suddenly I'm accursed with the affliction of lycanthropy, to, oh, our home is getting sieged by Sylvanas. It goes up and down, and it's a roller coaster ride, and it's really actually quite good.
Yeah, I mean, I tried a little bit playing as Alliance. I think I just played like a human at one point, but most of what I did is just try to play Horde, because for the Horde, of course.
Yes, of course, my life for the Horde.
Yeah. But I mean, I found some of the Alliance, you know, stuff, interesting enough, but I don't know. I think it was just like everyone that we were playing with played on Horde anyway, so.
Yeah, most of the people I play with are Horde, so I stay Horde.
Yeah.
I do have some Alliance characters, and I really do, I need to go back through the Alliance stuff for the last two expansions as well, where the storylines have been divergent a bit.
Yeah.
Because you get your Horde storyline, but then you get your Alliance storyline. And there's a lot of stuff going on both right now.
Right.
So, like, for Legion, I think we mentioned this before, but they killed off a ton of really important characters.
They went Game of Thrones on the whole thing.
A little bit. They killed off Vol'jin. Yeah. They killed off King Varian for the Alliance.
Oh, God.
They killed off Uther. Tyrion Fordring, I'm sorry. They killed off Tyrion, as far as I'm aware. But it's like, they killed off three huge people. They killed the War Chief and the King.
Yeah.
In the opening, not even like through the expansion, in the opening of Legion, they killed off both.
Wow.
And so, all this stuff going on in the Alliance is like, alright, well, there's a new King, and On the Horde side, there's a new War Chief, and it's Sylvanas, and it's Anduin Wrynn, Varian's son, on the Alliance side, and there's a whole lot going on, and it's really interesting.
Because
there's a lot of not good stuff going on right now too on both sides.
Right.
So it's just you have to make something on each side to see exactly what the story is playing out like.
Now, see, this is what's interesting for me, because like you were saying. And I do find this unusual, mind you, among MMOs, and maybe that's the reason why I kind of stepped away from them, is the idea that the story was really rich. I had played a lot of MMOs where it felt like the story was just, like, constantly just kind of reiterating a little bit on itself, and so it never really felt like it was going anywhere.
Yeah, and I get that, and that's a big reason I don't play a lot of the other MMOs. They just are really lacking.
Yeah,
but WoW has also had 13 years doing this stuff now. I've tried a couple other ones, and like their combat systems or their gameplay can be okay, but then it's like the quests and the storytelling is just really lacking.
Right.
It's like your lore is there, but I don't buy into your lore because it's just like, here's a lore dump, and I'm like, I don't want a lore dump.
I guess that was a problem that I started to feel with MMOs, and it's good to know that, you know, WoW has been able to buck the trend, but if you're going to have a game that you figure is going to have such a long tail that it can be around for over a decade, you have to, you know, just constantly think, all right, I guess I gotta figure out another story point here, and just kind of wander through it without an idea that you're really ending the story at any time.
Yeah, and that's the thing with, like, WoW Classic. Even WoW Classic isn't built on a lore dump because World of Warcraft is a predecessor to the strategy games for Warcraft. And you get Warcraft 1, 2, 3, and you get several expansions on the third one, Reign of Chaos, I believe, and then the Frozen yep. Throne,
yep.
which is Wrath of the Lich King right there.
Ah, yes.
It sets you up for the Wrath of the Lich King, at least, because you play yes. as Arthas.
Yeah, you play as Arthas, yeah.
So, if you've played those games, it's not a lore dump to you. You know some of the stuff that happens. You know who Thrall is, you know who Arthas is, and you yes. know these characters in Vol'jin of the Darkspear. You know these characters from, like, especially Warcraft 3, where they went to the RTS RPG aspects.
Yes.
So you know these characters, and you know the lore, and you know, like, Medivh, because he came to, like, even Thrall and whatnot. And you know these characters, and you know some of the lore bits that have happened and what built up to it. And so to have a game that's a 13 years old based on a game that's even older than that.
Oh, yes, much older.
You don't have that huge upfront lore dump that just is like, all right, well, that's way more information than I'm ever going to need about this game.
Right.
Because when you do that, you don't care. But when you build it on these characters that you care about, mm-hmm. then you actually get invested. You go, oh, I remember Arthas. He was badass. And then you went, oh, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy now. He went bizarro. That's what he had. He basically went Bizarro Superman.
Bizarro Arthas.
He's Bizarro Arthas now. The thing that we don't usually get to talk about, and I think that this is something very interesting with video games, especially, and I don't know if you see it quite as much in tabletop gaming, although it'd be interesting to kind of do a dive on that, is if you are able to get various installments in a series, you're able to build up lore over a much longer period of time.
Yes.
With an MMO, you have an opportunity, it's just not an opportunity that's often utilized to the best it can, where you have this long period of time where one singular game can actually expand the lore even deeper. Every installment in the Warcraft series, and actually, come to think of it, StarCraft and Diablo, basically Blizzard's builds, all of their series jump off of the previous installments.
Yes.
Think about this, though. Does that mean that we may not see a Warcraft 4, because if they were to do that, they'd have to jump off of the lore of WoW, which means that they couldn't necessarily continue the lore of WoW.
See, they are doing Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Okay.
Which is really updated. It's, what does it say here? It's relive the epic origins of Azeroth's greater heroes in Warcraft 3 Reforged, a stunning imaging of the Revolutionary's Time strategy game.
Mm.
And it looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's up to date, and it's all that. They also did a revisit to StarCraft Classic Reborn.
Oh, they're going way back.
So they're going back through some of their older games and updating them as well.
Okay.
But I do not think we'll see a Warcraft 4.
No, and for just that reason, that since they're going to try and maintain WoW pretty much forever, I think is the goal.
I foresee it as long as they can do it, yeah. Diablo 4, yes. StarCraft 3, yes.
Yeah.
It's harder for them, I think, to do their other IPs, because these are their classic games at this point. Warcraft, yeah. Diablo, and StarCraft are their classic games.
They did do that little that Overwatch thing.
Yep, I was gonna say they have Overwatch, which is doing okay. I think Heroes of the Storm, which I'm pretty sure they abandoned, and Hearthstone does okay. I guess
Hearthstone does well. I think Hearthstone has done really well. The thing that's interesting, I guess if I could say about, like, Overwatch is, I think that was Blizzard's attempt at saying, hey, the esports market seems like it's going to be a big thing. Can we get in on that?
And it is. It's their response to League of Legends and all those other things. It's their MOBA response. Actually, Heroes of the Storm was their response to League of Legends. But no one really plays Heroes of the Storm because there are other better games, and quite frankly, as much as I hate League of Legends, I have played it recently, and the community is a lot better than it used to be, and the game is still just the game, and it's like, it does what it does, and it does it well, and it knows what it's doing, and it's constantly churning out that new content to keep people playing and paying.
But the one that is, like, the big tournament one, I think, and that is Dota 2, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one that has
Dota, like, and League have cornered the MOBA market.
Dota 2, I think, is the one that had, like, that huge cash prize that the kid. Oh no, that was Fortnite. Sorry.
There's a couple of them,
But I think one of the big League challenges is Dota, which is also interesting because Dota 2 comes off of a fan made mod for Warcraft 3,
right?
Which was Dota,
and League of Legends is based off Dota.
How'd that happen? But a part of me is kind of glad that not every single game company ended up being able to succeed in the esports market, only because, let me see if I can explain this. I want you to think of Epic for a second. I know we don't really want to do that, but but they ended up with Fortnite. Fortnite became a huge success. Fortnite also ends up being an esports market. Do you see Epic making very many games or doing much else?
I see Epic making really poor choices.
I see Epic basically saying, we have way too much money. Let's just buy up exclusivity for every game we can.
Well, the thing with Epic right now is they're not trying to make other awesome games necessarily. They're trying to compete with Steam.
And Steam, which comes from Valve, is yet another kind of company that stopped making a lot of games because they wanted to focus on Steam.
Yes and no. I mean, they have definitely focused on their storefront.
Yeah,
Steam.
They definitely focus.
But I mean, they're still making games. I'm just not really sure what.
The last thing they made was Artifact, and nobody liked Artifact. It's Dota, but a card game.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds pretty bad, actually.
It's sad because you think about it. Like, do you honestly think that Valve is going to end up ever making a Half-Life 3 or a Portal 3?
I think they'd be wise to at least make a Portal 3, and people would want them to make a Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Half-Life 2 didn't come out that many years ago.
Blizzard, on the other hand, has really had three series that they've consistently been able to put out that have hit very well.
We say consistent, but to be fair, StarCraft 2 didn't come out for a very long time.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the quality and the response to the ones that do come out. One of the reasons why you might have seen that giant gap between the original one and the second one was because they were also supposed to have Ghost at some point.
I mean, yes, but they were also focusing on World of Warcraft at that point as well.
Yes. The more resources that kind of go into WoW, you have to understand that that means that they might not be working on some other projects, and their dev cycles might be getting longer.
A bit.
Because they want to be able to put it into something like WoW, which is still making good money for them after 13 years, and why would you want to abandon that? You wouldn't. You'd want to make a classic version, which,
yes,
I do have to say, this is the thing that always perplexed me. When WoW has such a long cycle, that saying, let's go back to the way the game was at the start, is like a new, innovative, interesting thing.
To be fair, I'm sure they didn't have to do nearly as much work for that. It only took, after announcing it, it was only like a year or so.
Yeah, the question that always arose for me is, and it looks like you're gonna go back to what you had for Classic Talons, Classic Raids, Classic World, which means that a lot of the story building, though, that you might have liked after that is not there.
Yep, it's not going to be present because it's not going to be updated quests or anything like that. It won't have any of the updated lore as far as I'm aware.
I don't mind this as a concept because if you think about it, like we were talking a little bit earlier before we started the episode about how they've done a lot of remasters, a lot of remodels, a lot of 4K updates for some games that came out a little while ago, because people want to be able to feel, even in the modern space, games that they really liked and see them get a little bit updated and new. When you figure that people have not really had the opportunity, especially new players that might have jumped into WoW in the last few years, have no idea what the landscape even looked like before this.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, Ashjara used to be completely different looking. Thousand Needles used to be different. The Barrens used to be totally different.
Yeah.
Like, that's all stuff that happened during Cataclysm. Burning Crusade added Outland. Wrath of the Lich King added Northrend.
Yep.
Cataclysm just went and redid a bunch of the zones, added the Maelstrom in the middle there. Added Oldham, which never used to be, it was a zone that was there, but you could never get to before.
Right,
and kind of like Hyal as well, same, it was a zone that was always there, but never able to get to until then. And then Pandaria added
Pandaria.
Every expansion has basically added landmass to the map, so we're going back to the old classic WoW map, which was just nothing but the Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor.
Which is interesting just because since they did do a lot of big shakeups, and even that they had done a lot with how characters were built, just like in the mechanics alone of how characters are built and how skills are built and all of that. Because they revamped that over the course of time.
Oh yeah, we're going back to having weapon skills, I think.
I believe so. I believe that the talent lines are back to the way...
Expertise is going to be back, I believe.
Probably,
and,
yeah.
Talent trees.
Yeah, all of those
are
going
to be back to what they were.
Yeah.
And your weapon skills, because that's when you used to have to actually train, essentially, with your weapons. Also, buying your skills at your class trainer. You had to go and do that.
Yeah. This is...
And that's no longer a thing you have to do.
The best way that I could relate it to tabletop is, imagine if you were like me, and you got into D&D when it was 5e, and then someone was like, let me explain what AD&D was.
Let me tell you about Thaco.
Let me tell you about Thaco, because they did a lot that changed tons of the overall mechanics of the game, probably from when I'm familiar with it, because I remember reading up on a few of them.
And for your example, going from 5e to like AD&D, mm-hmm. you're going from something that's been taken for years and streamlined to the point that it's easy for new people to get into and understand, and it's a good system and it's simple and it works well,
mm-hmm.
to something much crunchier that is far more involved.
Yeah.
That is far more mechanically, you have to understand how things work.
Would you say that the original WoW was crunchier than the current build?
Yes.
Okay.
Because at that point, you had to optimize your talents, optimize your weapon skills, which weapons you're using. You had to, if you wanted to hit things in a raid, for instance, at that point, you had to max out the weapon skill you're using. If you wanted to use bows as a hunter, like I did, I had to go in and shoot things with my bow lots of times.
Yes.
And get my skill up from like 15 to 400, I think is what it was when I maxed it out.
Oh, God. That's going to take a
while. And that takes time.
It's a grind.
And the thing with that is, the higher your skill, the better your chance to hit was. And the lower your skill, you'd have a higher miss chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that was a thing that was that. And then expertise, which you could get as a stat, would add to your chance to hit or chance to crit. I don't remember exactly.
Right.
But you had to do all these things. And then your talents, because the trees were totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You had your three trees still, but you could pump points into them like Diablo 2 style.
Yes.
Where you had your three talent trees, and you could pick your talents out of each tree you wanted, or go straight down one, or whatever. But it's like, alright, well, if you want that bottom one ability on that one talent tree, you kind of have to stick to that entire talent tree.
Pretty much.
But you could also mix and match. So there were like, I know for my warrior at the time, there was I was an arms warrior, and that meant lots of bleed damage, but there was also a couple protection talents that would make it so my Rends, one of my main bleed abilities, would spread to everyone that hit with my thunderclap. So I would go dip into protection for that one reason, and then the rest of my abilities would mostly be down arms and a couple in fury, things that would make the bleeds better. So like at that point, Arms Warrior was ridiculous because you would rend on a target, thunderclap, and then everybody in your 10-yard radius had rend applied to them. And at that point, rend was ridiculous damage over time. It made them bleed so very much.
The thing that I think a lot of people will probably remember when they actually get back to doing Classic WoW is not just that it's crunchier, but that they had streamlined a lot of the grind out, especially for lower levels. The grind's probably you're probably gonna feel it more.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna
the grind
that.
Is so much less now that you're gonna be like, oh boy, what is this?
I mean, they'll just practically give you a level 70 character now. Because I think, like, in some of the new expansions, they were like, here's just a character you can have. Like, when they did the Death Knights.
I mean, you still had to have a character of a certain level to get a Death Knight, but you did start with a 58. That's the reason I'm currently running a Death Knight, is because I wanted to make a Demon Hunter on the server I jumped to.
Yeah.
But you had to have a level 70 character on that server to make a Demon Hunter. So I went, oh, well, I'll make a Death Knight because it starts at level 58. But then I started enjoying the Death Knight, and I'm playing a Death Knight.
Then they had a whole thing. I remember they would do like, hey, if you're going to sign up and you're coming back to WoW or anything like that, you maybe you've lapsed, you get like a ticket, to get a free, like, level 70 character when they had gotten up
to
that.
They've done a thing where you get tokens now, like, on when you pre-purchase the expansion, they'll be like, all right, cool, here's a token to get a character up to the current max level before the expansion, so you can just jump right into it, which is cool, because it's like, all right, we want you to be able to play this right away, so here's this.
Yeah.
Or you can either make a new character and update and get them straight up to that level, or you can use it on a pre-existing character and bump their level.
I mean, I remember when I had to just start at level 1 and just build my character from level 1.
I mean,
back in my day.
Again, even that now doesn't take forever to level. I went from level 58 to 110 with the Death Knight in not that long.
Yeah.
Maybe 30 hours? I don't actually know.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty big hit rate if you're, like, leveling a couple times an hour. I was trying to figure out how long it took to generally level, especially in large RPGs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of figured out that, like, somewhere between an hour and a half for a level is pretty standard.
I would be playing, and I would be playing for a couple hours, and I'd hit, like, 4 levels while I was playing.
Yeah, that's pretty fast, as far as leveling goes.
That was recent, so.
I mean, it's not like Kingdom Hearts fast.
Oh, gosh.
Kingdom Hearts, you just level constantly. I just got used to the fact that that happened. Actually, Borderlands, it wasn't too bad.
Borderlands is pretty quick.
Borderlands is pretty fast. I know that they had a big problem, and I kept thinking about doing a video on it, and I'm probably just never going to get around to it, but about how people were complaining that, like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey had a really slow leveling system. I was like, you know, if you actually look at it, it's actually, like, even if you're getting to, like, level 60, it's about an hour and a half per level at that and if you're only talking like level 40 or 50 where you can almost access basically every area anyway and enemies level with you, that's actually more like an hour and a quarter per level, and you still haven't explored the whole map, so that's kind of not even fair. You haven't really even explored the whole game. You're not really grinding at all. You can go anywhere you want, so that's kind of an unfair criticism. But they were talking about it in relation to being able to buy the XP boosts, and I was like, no, actually, it's pretty much in line. It's just that you see the XP boosts, and it makes you think that you can level faster, and that's the whole trick. It's the way they get ya. I can be leveling faster. I want to level faster.
And you can do that stuff in World of Warcraft, too. There are items, there are potions and stuff you can use.
Yeah.
You can buy for gold.
Oh, really?
So I don't think you can buy any for actual money.
Oh.
Don't quote me on that, but I think most of it's in-game currency.
Oh, okay. Can you buy in-game currency, though?
Technically, yes. There are lots of ways you can buy in-game currency.
Well, see, even if you were to look at the model that Ubisoft came up with for the Assassin's Creed series, you don't buy things with money directly. You buy Helix credits, and then you can use the Helix credits to buy things.
I could buy the in-game currency.
I buy shmoney. Well, here's my shmoney.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can buy the WoW tokens that lets you get a free month of gameplay. Sorry, if you buy it, it's not free. But you can pay real-world money for WoW tokens that you can then take into the game with you and sell for gold.
Mm-hmm.
So you can spend real money to buy something that you can sell in the game for, like, hundreds of thousands of gold.
Yeah, a little bit of a workaround, but you essentially can still get in-game currency for real money.
Yes. I mean, it's I guess, better than trusting third parties, at least?
Well, it's better than the system you see a lot with free games, where there's, a premium currency that you can only buy with real money.
Yes.
And just for the record, folks, please don't do that. just please don't do that. You're just encouraging a system. You're never getting that money back. That's gone. That money is just gone. At some point, maybe I'll do a very long and very angry rant about how mobile games work.
Since we've been talking about WoW Classic, you don't have to buy it. If you have a active World of Warcraft subscription, you are welcome to play WoW Classic anytime you want.
Yep. So it works with your current
subscription. So your subscription for current WoW also gets you into Classic WoW, which honestly is a great idea on the business side, because it's like, all right, well, we're not going to sell this game because it came out 13 years ago, but we'll give people access to it if they're maintaining a current subscription to this game. So it's a free game, but you have to be paying for it still.
Now, if I don't have a current Warcraft account, though, too bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, you could sign up for one. I'm not sure if you'd have to buy a game, but you could probably sign up for one.
Yeah, I probably could. You will start. This is the other thing, that your WoW classic characters do start at level 1. I remember back in my day. Back in my day, we always started at level 1. That's how leveling worked.
Yes, I started at level -1.
They did, yeah. Oh, wow, that's really good. They do say, though, if you had any characters previously, they will still be available in World Warcraft, but not playable in Classic.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, because if there's any equipment or character builds or classes that were in later things, yeah, they can't figure that. You have to start new.
You can't backwards compatible like that. Yeah. The same reason Pokemon games, you can't trade between different Gen 6 gens. Into Gen 4. Yeah. It doesn't work.
No. But that does make me think, like, well, there are going to be some more limitations to the options that you're given.
Of course.
Because I mean, now you're back to, what, like, the 4 different races for each side? I want to say that there were
4. Yeah, I actually made a character on a server, and I was like, oh, right, there's no Blood Elves or Goblins.
Yeah, there's 4 Alliance and 4 Horde, which, you know, they weren't bad, unless you were a gnome. As long as I could be a Tauren, that's all I cared about.
Yeah, I didn't like the Tauren because their animations are just so slow, so they felt really slow.
You basically get to be a Minotaur.
Yeah, but you can have a new Tauren now. You get to have High Mountain Tauren. You can be a moose.
I can be a Canadian Tauren.
Yeah, essentially.
Yay. They did say that they are expecting that the servers are going to get swamped when it is day 1, so if you're listening to this day 1, think about getting on there. Maybe wait a few days.
If you're listening to this while you wait to get on there, you know, that's fine.
Yep. You might have to wait and listen to us talk until you can get on. Because this is going to download a whole lot faster than your server.
You might be done listening to this by the time you get on the server, but you might not.
No, you might not.
Listen to it again.
Listen for the hidden code. We're not going to tell you what the code is for.
Beep boop.
Beep boop. Wouldn't it be amazing if one day we just revealed that the entire show had, like, hidden codes in it the entire time, and if you looked at all the clues...
Now we've become Game Theory.
I shouldn't have told them. Don't go back and listen to episode 17.
Don't do that ever.
No.
Don't actually do that ever.
No, don't go back and listen to... I don't even remember...
Hello, Internet!
Hello, Internet! Welcome to Delve Theory. On this episode, we talk about WoW. Was Uthar actually, like, Braum's son?
No.
I don't think that works.
No.
No.
No, it doesn't.
No.
There. No.
But all the evidence was there, if you look really closely. Now the only question, though, is, are they going to have to set up servers for each one of the expansions pass? Like, am I going to have a server that's for Burning Crusades? Am I going to have to have one for Wrath of the Lich King, you know? Am I going to have one that's just after Cataclysm?
Time will tell. It depends on how popular WoW Classic is and if people want more of it.
Yeah, I suppose it is. And the thing is, I would not imagine that it's going to be particularly hard to do because they already made that game. But I am kind of curious as to see...
Unless they scrapped all the coding for it, then it's hard.
I would have been real surprised if they didn't put that somewhere on an archive.
Here's a thought, and I doubt it's going to happen. It's just a thought that I just came up with. So what if they take Classic WoW, and they do everything progression-wise as it should through the expansions, but they do it on a different timeline?
Okay.
So, like, what if you take Classic WoW, and you go to the end? But then you make everything slightly different than the current WoW timeline.
Oh, so basically what you're talking about is you're creating a divergent butterfly effect sort of thing.
Yeah.
They technically could. If they wanted to create essentially an alternate universe, you could end up with a whole different story.
That's essentially what they did with Warlords of Draenor. They went, hey, we know time travel is full of paradoxes. Please ignore those laws. this is an alternate Draenor. It's not the same one from this Azeroth's past.
Right.
They went, this is different world in a different timeline.
Right.
Where things played up differently.
Right.
So they can do it. They've done it.
Right.
They could, but the question is, how would they make things different then?
I don't know.
That would be so much lore rewrites for it, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and I mean, they could technically do that. It might give you the benefit of that is that you would be able to look at some of the stuff you did, say, and this was kind of confusing the way that we had put it. What if we tried to streamline it? And now that we know where the story is kind of going, could we modify it? I mean, that was sort of the problem that they wound up with like Game of Thrones by the end. They had a framework of where the books were supposed to go,
right.
But that's all they really had to work with. So I'm sure that the books had already diverged from the show. So even though it's the same basic story, or it's supposed to be the same basic story, you're going to have a lot of variation. So it is possible that if you're going through all those iterations, the general place that you end up with at the end is very similar to the one that you got to anyway, but they were able to modify a bunch of things that maybe they didn't get a chance to, or looking back in retrospect, they were able to modify to make it make more sense throughout the entirety of it. Sometimes I think, like, especially if you're writing something or you're writing any kind of fiction, it's very liberating to say, I like what I did here, but I would have changed it to get to where I inevitably got to, because I didn't know this is where I wanted it to go. There's a whole thing where they talked about two different kinds of, like, writing philosophies, and there's one where you basically plot out the whole thing at the start, like, you basically have a framework. This mm-hmm. is where I start, this is the middle, this is going to be the end, and then you write it. And then there's ones where you keep building on that fiction and you want to see where the characters end up going and you want to try and lead them through, and there's benefits to each one of them. But if you're one of the people that likes to write in the style of, I start my characters here, let them grow, see where that takes them, coming to a conclusion can be really tricky because you don't know where your characters are inevitably going to go, and then you have to wrap it up in a nice little bow at the end. But if you see that and you're able to see where it eventually goes, what happens if you're like, oh, I like to let my characters grow and get them to an endpoint. Now that I see all that, if I were to go back and do it in a framework, would I be able to make this make more sense so that I can get from the beginning to the end without it feeling rapid or rushed or anything like that?
Right.
That's an interesting thought process, depending on how people people grow.
Always.
Or vice versa, I guess, while I'm on it. If you really like the idea of structure, but then you go back and look at it and kind of go, yeah, but the characters don't feel like they should have done that. It looks like the story just wanted you to. The plot demanded that these characters do this, even though it doesn't really work for their motivation. Then maybe I can go back and change it so that it works correctly. But I have a feeling that if I were to be a betting man, that WoW will pretty much, if they did those iterations, they'll basically just do it the way they did it before.
Yeah, I don't think they'd go and rewrite everything, because that would be interesting. It would be cool, but it would be a lot. Their writers would have to do a lot of thinking.
Yeah, and that's probably, like, you might as well just work on doing the new stuff rather than trying to revamp everything that came before.
Yeah.
And also, especially in something that builds up a lot of lore, I gotta be honest with you, if you've built up a lot of lore and everything, time travel is just gonna screw that up.
Right, and that's the whole reason for Warlords. They went, hey, yeah, we know, we get it, okay, yeah no, it's not affecting the past of Azeroth, because it's a different Draenor.
Right.
This is one where the Legion did not get a hold of the orcs,
and
instead, this is happening.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh yeah, Burning Crusade didn't happen. The orcs never went from Draenor and invaded Azeroth.
Yeah.
The Fel Horde never happened.
Right.
This is a different one.
Because it is one of those things, like, it's a golden rule of fiction, is that once you introduce time travel, everything's pretty much off the table.
I mean, I've definitely introduced time travel into my games before for D&D.
Right, but like, what they're talking about, like, is once you introduce the ideas of time travel, what is death? What are character ends? Like, what are character choices?
That's the whole thing. It depends on, and this is a whole, like, Vsauce 3 paradox stuff we're going into now, but the whole thing with that is depends on the type of time travel you introduce and the laws that you're using for it.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're doing a bootstrap paradox, which is the Link in the Song of Storms type deal, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because that one is, what is it, a Link in, not the Wind Waker.
Link to the Past?
No, not Link to the Past. It's the one where you play as young Link and old Link.
Oh, you mean Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, Ocarina of Time, thank you.
Yeah, the big one.
So in Ocarina of Time, Link goes back in the past and teaches the song. He learns the Song of Storms from someone as adult Link.
Yeah.
And he goes back into the past with the Ocarina of Time, and he teaches the Song of Storms to the person that teaches it to him later.
Yes.
I do remember this. So, information is not introduced in this paradox. There is no new information generated. It is the fact that the information originally came from one place. It's a loop.
Yeah.
So, he learned the song from that one person, this person learned the song from a future version of him.
Yeah.
Who learned it from him.
Yeah. Basically, the reason he knows the song is because a previous version of him taught it to somebody that taught it to him.
Yeah.
So
it's that. It's the fact new information is not produced. It is just the information has always existed somehow.
Yeah.
Which is really time travel paradoxes.
It's interesting, and also realistically, if we were getting into time travel, kind of unrealistic, and doesn't make a ton of sense, because
doesn't make sense. It's fine.
Well, no, time travel doesn't make sense, but you do imagine that there are certain reasons why you would want to do it in the first place.
Well, and it goes back to the one of those book, not Fahrenheit 451.
No,
Slaughterhouse 5. It's that alien that pushes that button that destroys the world. And it's like, why do you push a button if you know it's going to destroy the world? And the alien goes, well, I always push this button. I'm always supposed to push this button. I will always continue to push this button.
Right. And the question then says, well, but shouldn't your goal be to prevent it from happening? And the alien's like, no, that's what I do. The world if I'm supposed to push the button, then that's what's supposed to happen. And the world is supposed to end when I do that. It's supposed to happen. That's just the way it is. Like, you can go back and try to save the world, but if the world's supposed to be destroyed, then that's the way it's supposed to go.
That's the way the news goes.
But that's a completely different idea than Avengers, damn it. Avengers, we're changing everything so that we can get the damn stones. Poor Thanos. The race to the stones. Yeah. Time travel just makes things wacky, folks. It does. And I think it's the reason why I don't see it implemented a lot. They did a good job in Ocarina of Time, beside bootstrap principles aside. But the idea that when you move things around, and then that helps you out later on, and you can kind of move back and forth. To a lesser extent, since we're on that subject, if you play a Banjo-Kazooie, which is one of my favorite games, there is the best level in that game is Click Clockwood, and if you have not played that, it's basically a level that is completely wrapped around this big tree, and you can access it from all four different seasons. And you start in spring, and you get the trigger for summer, and you basically unlock the four. But what happens in that is stuff that you do in spring affects what happens when you get to summer. Affects what happens when you get to fall. And if you realize that there's a puzzle you can't complete, you can go into the other seasons, fix it so that it makes sense. If you go in at a certain time and blow up a boulder in summer, well, the lake is drained, you can blow up a boulder. And so when you get into fall, you can actually get into a secret tunnel when the water rises back up. So you're actually using the different seasons as almost a time paradox, because the boulder would be there if you didn't blow it up. But if you go back to a previous season and blow it up, now you can actually access that place in later seasons. So it's fun how they're able to implement that. I would hate to think how they would do that in an MMO.
Oh boy. I mean, okay, so if we're going to time travel, that does exist in WoW already due to the Bronze Dragonflight.
Okay.
So for instance, currently, Undercity is destroyed, Tel'Drassil is destroyed, and several different zones have been affected so much by the Cataclysm or other things going on, like Syphilis has the sword from Kil Jaeden stuffed through right now.
Syphilis?
Syphilis. It's where...
I know what syphilis is. I had to see a doctor about that.
Oh, not that one.
Not that one, okay.
So, like, there are Bronze Dragonflight people there who can you can talk to and say, I want to see a previous, like, what this place used to look like, and you can go back to that zone as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be the lower level variant of it, because most of these ones are, like, the higher level variants.
I think the problem that I had when it came to, like, an MMO or anything like that is if you have a world, and this might have been the reason why I like a lot of epic RPGs, but I'm not as big onto MMOs, is that a certain amount of the world has to remain static so that all of the players are working in the same kind of field. Like, that's why I can defeat a boss or something and the boss returns later.
And that's the reason that, you know, WoW, instead of just updating all their stuff all the time, would introduce new zones.
But, like, there are some limitations to the model. Like, if I were to take a Fallout 3, and there's the whole thing about, like, Megaton. Do I blow up Megaton, or do I save Megaton? And then that's a flaming ruin. You can't really do that very effectively. The general idea of, like, yeah, the choices you make then affect the world on a large scale, can't really do that because there's all these other players running around, and they also have to work in the same world you're in.
And the trick there is you have to have servers dedicated to both choices.
Oh, yeah. But then it makes it really hard to matchmake,
mm-hmm.
because then all the other people that you're playing with have to make the same choices you make.
Actually, they're doing something with that in current Warcraft as well.
I'm not quite
sure exactly yet, but there's a quest line where you go and you rescue Sourfang, and you get a choice, and it says right up front that your choice will be remembered. So you get to choose A or B. So it's a divergent quest choice.
Okay.
And it affects later stuff, and I'm wondering what it's going to affect.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that actually works.
This stuff is way easier in tabletop.
This stuff is way easier in tabletop.
Because you don't have graphics.
You don't have graphics, and the other thing that's really beneficial is, well, your game is dynamic to a group anyway. Like, you can imagine that there is... And I'm sure that there are games that I could reference that are video games where you... Oh, yeah, they did this in, like, Stardew Valley, where your game can grow and change and continue to be dynamic, but you do it as a group. That's sort of what you do in D&D or any other RPG. You're all having an experience that grows and shapes your characters and stuff, but... You're doing it as a group. So it's changing and evolving for you as a collective. That's hard to do on an MMO, though, because, one, you don't know all the other players that are on your server, and you're all kind of running around doing your own thing most of the time, unless you're on raids. One day, maybe we'll see an MMO that does... If we're lucky... Blizzard will probably do it, and they'll do it with one of their other IPs. What do you think the likelihood... That was the other question I wanted to ask you before we finish. What do you think the likelihood is that one day Blizzard might consider doing an MMO version, like a World of Warcraft, but with, like, a Diablo or a StarCraft, especially?
Well, Diablo, no, because they've already kind of got that whole...
Like, they've tried to keep 3 alive as much as they possibly can.
StarCraft, again, it would have to be, like, StarCraft Ghosts. And we saw how that turned out.
It didn't.
Exactly.
It didn't turn out, folks. We never got StarCraft Ghost. Yeah, I think the problem, though, with StarCraft Ghost is that...
It was canceled last minute?
That and I just feel like the longevity of that game would not have been what Blizzard usually expects their games to do. Because it was like an action...
I could see them doing an MMO in the StarCraft universe, but...
Yeah.
It would have to be...
In the StarCraft universe, that would have been pretty great. Like, imagine if you could, like, just be the Terran or the Protoss or the Zerg.
I imagine you would probably be able to be any of them, but...
Yeah.
The Zerg would be harder.
The Zerg may be hard. They would have to revamp a lot of stats in order for that to work. Like, Zerglings would have to get a little tougher. Their speed would be great. Maybe
I don't think you'd be... I think you'd have to be something that is, like, hybrid.
You'd have to be some kind of a hybrid.
Like an infested Terran.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, how you have Alliance and Horde in WoW, couldn't you have Terrans and Protoss and Zerg? And if that's the case, you should be able to have some different, like, races inside of that. Or different class builds, at
least. It'd be different class builds, I would want to say. I don't think it'd be races at that point.
That might be tricky, because each one of them is essentially a race. But the Zerg have, like, completely different models for different members of their armada, so... Yeah, the Zerg are weird. I love the Zerg.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Zerg, and I love playing the Zerg. Because you get Zergling Rush. Just do that.
That's why I don't like them.
Yeah, because it sucks when you come up against them. What we're saying is it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Classic WoW. I mean, we know what happened the first time we had Classic WoW. It became the biggest MMO on the planet.
One of them.
I think at this rate, it can definitely say, like, it became the one. It's the one MMO to rule them all. Just maybe. Because, mostly because a lot of MMOs just kind of fell by the wayside or fell into disrepair. The model kind of went away. Alex, are you going to end up playing the WoW Classic?
I'll probably play it a little bit. We'll see. I may not stick with it, but I'll definitely check it out when it's not servers being bogged down by 2 million people trying to log in.
And you're going to be a Tauren, so that's good.
No, I'll probably be an Orc.
Yeah, that sounds like it's you. And then you're going to disco dance. I just wish that there was a disco class in WoW.
They don't disco. The orcs actually do the hammer dance.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, because you know, you can't touch this.
We can't do that. I mean, we're not on YouTube. We can do whatever that we want.
We can do whatever we want. Let's floss.
You do that, and then make GIF of it, and then make bank.
And the best thing is that we're actually talking about just proper dental hygiene. Alex, if folks wanted to find out all about the Horde or the Alliance or anything else that we do, where could they go?
You can go to www.delcast.com.
Yes, now with 100% more Horde on Alliance action, you can enjoy all of that. If you are over there, you can also click on our Patreon. You get extended episodes, which I'm sure this one's going to be pretty beefy for you, if you like that. Our patrons get those. And, of course, a big thank you to our Shiny Level patrons, Bonnie Ainsworth and Dominic Perry. I also want to say thank you to all of our patrons for joining us and listening to this. If you're out there, thank you very much. I would also like to say that you can find us on the Google Play and the iTunes and the Spotify. I don't know. The voices in your head.
Just find us where you want to. Wherever you're listening to us here, you can find us there.
There's a podcast app in your head. Listen to it. You can also find us on Twitter. I am at Titanium.
I am at EXP Limited, and the show is at Delve Podcast.
So follow along for all of your Delvey requirements, needs, thoughts,
misconceptions.
We do post a lot just besides the actual episodes. So if you want to see some of the videos or articles or anything else that we're doing, we'll also make note of it on the Twitter account or even the Facebook posts. We'll have it there too.
Yeehaw!
Yeah, so you can get it all there. And so, I suppose with that, we will leave Azeroth for now.
So long, and thanks for all the, fish, I guess?
Are there fish?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no fish in Azeroth, that's just a lie. If there are any fish, I hope they're not sharks. If there are sharks, hopefully they're not baby sharks.
Do-do-do-do-do.
World of Warcraft, do-do-do-do. That's going to be the new jam. People are going to love that. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And, of course, For the Horde.
For the Horde. Lakhtar Ogar, friends.
What he said.
Of course, you gotta keep biting at it for 12 years, like Duke Nukem Forever.
But see, the thing is, for Duke Nukem Forever, that's a case where I know we've digressed so far, but I will digress just a slight bit more. I love Gearbox for Borderlands, but like the rest of their catalog is crap.
Yeah, that happens.
If you really look at it, like basically everything else they've done has been pretty poor. They don't have a lot of hits in the to speak of, except of course for the Borderlands series. Duke Nukem Forever. Aliens, Colonial Marine. There's good hits there, kids. But then they had the one thing that hit, and I'm kind of glad that they had that, because now they seem to be focusing all of their efforts into saying, let's just make sure that series is great,
yeah,
and we'll just keep going with it.